Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. Loaded up today. Sean Parnell, one of our favorites, will be here at 1 o'clock. Late yesterday, he was chosen by President Trump to be the Pentagon spokesperson and undersecretary of something there. So we'll talk with him about that. RFK Jr. has gotten through. For him, the harder part might be the overall body of 100. For Tulsi Gabbard, it might be the committee. Only one Republican has to vote against you, and you're bounced. And he did get Dr. Cassidy, the senator from Louisiana, who gave a long thing from the well of the Senate about why he is going to be involved with Kennedy and will guide this agenda as we go forward. So RFK Jr., I think, has a very good chance of being the next head of Health and Human Services, and that is going to be a big deal. We'll be talking about, of course, Trumpian stuff, but RFK Jr. will be in second place, given all the things that are on his watch, and given the transparency and some of the stuff he'll try to do. So that's good news. We don't have the final vote yet, but I'm thinking it's looking positive for him. Without a doubt. Now, on the tariffs, okay, let's see if we can strike a reality check. I think they work so far. I'm still not convinced with what Mexico is doing by putting 10,000 up on them. Mexico's the problem, not Canada. I know we get off because of Trudeau in Canada. I get it. I think the Canadians have offered a lot more than the Mexicans have, and they are not the problem. Now, you can say, well, we don't have a balance of trade with them. That's what this is about, too. Okay. But as far as that border and fentanyl, by any account, it's minimal versus what the Mexicans are doing. And now they're going to have a czar. They're putting $1.3 billion into it. So I think the Canadians, that Trump has won on that one. I'm not convinced with the Mexicans that this is anything that's going to really help. And with China, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Now, Gordon Chang, who is a preeminent guy in the world on the threat of China, will be here at 1:30. The Mexican cartels, all kinds of reports now, are apparently getting drones ready to fire on Border Patrol. Now, if they do, that's when the president of the United States really has to launch. This is decimation. Take out every single one of them that we can hit, not by putting boots on the ground. Whatever Mexico says at that point, they say it doesn't matter. If that's their reaction, they feel boxed in, and that's what they engage in. It should be just what we're waiting for. That's where the problem is, and China. I don't think the Canadians had much of anything to do with this, but okay. You got a commitment for them to try to seal that off even more. That's all good. That's a win. Mexico is still the problem here. And China as the precursor, as the starting point of this. All right. One other quick thing, too. I'll get into this Kansas City story. It's quite remarkable. I don't think they were intentionally doing this with the elementary school and having the kids dress up like referees. But it does play into what's going to be one of the big storylines. And, you know, here in Philadelphia, it's easy to buy into this. We used to think about it with the Celtics versus the Sixers back in the day. Are the referees wanting KC to continue to be the face of the NFL And do the referees give Mahomes benefit of the doubt? But it's true. The elementary, Kansas City Elementary School asked kids to dress like a referee as part of their spirit week for the Chiefs. I'll give you the detail. Great article at Crossing Broad. Why would they do that? It must be in the air that they have a feeling that somehow or another, the referees are going to be looking favorably toward Mahomes. But the NFL last night had their media night. I wanted to talk about this as a real good example. Roger Goodell, who, look, the guy must do something that we don't see, that NFL owners are willing to pay him $45 million, whatever it is, a year, year after year. He doesn't look overwhelming to me. And he said last night at their big media night for the Super Bowl that the NFL's DEI policies are here to stay. Here's what he said. Listen, we've gotten into diversity efforts because we felt it was the right thing for the National Football League. And we're going to continue those efforts because we're not only convinced ourselves, I think we've proven to ourselves that it does make the NFL better. So we're not in this because it's a trend to go into a trend or to get out of it. Our efforts are fundamental in trying to attract the best possible talent into the National Football League, both on and off the field. As I said previously, we all see that. We'll see how it's benefited the National Football League. So I think we'll continue those efforts. Okay. Now, this is a great jumping off point with this DEI stuff. You see people now that were caught up in DEI. It's under fire. Trump is issuing order after order. Most of corporate America, with the exception of some, are pulling away from it. Is the NFL really a DEI league? The DEI stands for equity, not equality, meaning equitable, that the outcomes are the same. No, it's not. They're about one thing. People don't care the makeup of the offensive line, how many are white, black, Latino, something else, gay, straight, binary. They care about one thing, winning on Sunday. So do the Chiefs. And the slightest thing that can give them an edge, I mean the very slightest, even if it only psychologically makes them feel better, that they have a better chance, that's what they're going to do. I mean, they have a field goal kicker who was reviled. Would the Eagles have put up with this guy, given his outstanding percentage and the stuff that he said, the guy that said all the stuff about women and Christians and all that? I think they might have, even in Philadelphia. Because it's all about minute degrees of winning. It's close. This will be, I think, a relatively close game. Single digits. And with that as the case, you're going to do and take anyone that you can, even if they're a semi-criminal or anything else, because you have one goal, to win. So what is Roger Goodell talking about? Well, if he's talking about his offices and how they run the NFL, I don't know. But he's trying to redefine DEI. He's trying to tell us that DEI isn't what I define it as, and you probably do. This is what Democrats are up to now. They're trying to tell us that if you're against this, you're against civil rights. You're a throwback machine. You want to go way back. This DEI stuff, almost 100% of the time, devolves into quotas. No matter how it starts out, that's what it devolves into. It devolves into the Biden administration rejecting white applicants, and now they don't have enough people to man control towers. And we've seen what happened last week around that. That's factual. That's what it does. That's where it goes. We're not celebrating how we're different. That doesn't make us better. We're celebrating that despite different backgrounds, we all come together for some common purpose. That's the celebration. That's what the Eagles are doing. They're not counting and saying, oh, man, you know, how many guys do we have out there that are whatever? No, they're saying, are we better? Is this guy just 1/1,000th of a percent better than the other guy we have there? Let's put him in. That's exactly what they should be calculating. The NFL, pro sports, that's all that it's about. It's got one goal, to win, not to do DEI policies. He also cited the Rooney Rule, which requires teams to interview minority candidates when hiring.
Matt Rooney rule?
No, Matt Rooney's engaged in a debate tonight. It's the Art Rooney rule, but, you know, Matt Rooney would not be in favor of the Rooney rule. His own rule! What the hell's up with that, Matt?
Any relation, Matt? Any relation?
Yeah, Matt, next time, I don't know if he follows sports, and I can't tell. So, I'm okay with that they say, look, people have been neglected, so they're going to interview some more people. That's fine. And then we'll see a list, and we'll start to see, well, somebody like Roger Goodell or somebody says, well, why do you have so few African-American coaches? Or the number's down by one person. Is that indicating racism? Or is it indicating the NFL is making a decision, right, wrong, or indifferent, about wanting to win? And they think this person at that time is going to have them win. In Philadelphia, you'll be called out if you're doing anything different. So here we have, arguably, the biggest thing that can't fail. The NFL can't fail, even with Roger Goodell, who I don't think is any good at all. People want it beyond belief. You can't fail with this. You buy a franchise, even if you're a moron, you have the money to do it, and it quadruples in value, or 10 times in value, within X number of years. By the way, some people saying Jeffrey Lurie may have given the signal he would build a dome here today in an interview he did. Oh, man, I don't think if that really becomes that he says, yeah, I think we should, he said we should have the biggest events in the world here in Philadelphia. Well, that's good. But the weather's not good, so you have to have a dome, build a dome. Oh, man, I don't think Eagles fans are dome-centric. I don't think they want to go to a dome for football. No, I think it would be 75-80% say no, maybe more. All right, phone lines to get in are 855-839-1210. So is Rooney right? I mean, Goodell right? Look at the NFL. Well, he's a liar. The NFL is not practicing DEI. Maybe in the NFL offices they're doing this stuff. And they're not successes. They're clowns often. They succeed because America wants this. It's not what they do. I mean, look at the guys. Look at the guy that played for Baltimore, punched a girlfriend and then became the wife right there in the elevator. Look at how they handle that. Look at how they handle any number of things. People don't like it, but they put up with it. Why? They want NFL football. It's just that simple. America wants it. It's a product. You can screw up all you want. They want it. You're not making America want it. They just want it. They want the product. So DEI is not helping that. Okay, side question today. Heard to me, we have not done, yesterday looking at this, we have not done a year's thing. I didn't want to do a whole decade. Because we're only 5 years into this. I was going to say, let's do the time of Trump from, 2015 when he came down the escalator to now. But we don't take Trump answers. We don't want to get involved in refereeing that. So the 2020s, we're into the fifth year of it. That's right. Hit us with something. Could be a person, place, or thing, national, fictional, local, that you think is something. There's one answer I'm not going to say now that I think could be the winner because it's happening now, and for the future, it's enormous. That could be the winner. I'm going to take off Taylor Swift and COVID.
So we're looking for something that defines the decade,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Something big, a trend, a person, a food.
T-Swift's a good answer.
Oh, Tesla?
No, I said T-Swift, Taylor Swift.
Oh, T-Swift. Okay.
But for 2025, I mean, we're halfway through the decade. It seems like she might be fading in, relevance.
A little bit. But yeah, still, really? I would say for the first, I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think
not.
So. Yeah.
Like she's not at the People magazine cover every week.
Nobody could be. You couldn't keep that up forever. So, in fairness, I think it's fading just because, you know, you need a new thing. But COVID still defining us today. Still, it goes on in so many different ways. I don't think Kennedy would be the Health and Human Services except for COVID because he's a response. Pushing back against all that. All right, Dan, what do you have?
I'm going to take something that's grown over the years, and every generation's had this, some kind of bad music, Dom, but... This whole mumble rap trend that you have in the 2020s is incredibly going to define the music. You just had, well, Kendrick Lamar is not much of a mumble rapper, but he just won some big awards over at the Grammys.
And he's doing the Super Bowl.
So hopefully that's a counter to this whole mumble rap trend that we saw at the early 2020s. But Dom, I hate to say that this crap music that I don't even know how it's considered music is going to define this decade.
Mumble rap, do they actually call it that?
Well, haters do like me.
Okay.
What do people actually call it? Is it?
No, it's mumble rap.
It's mumble rap.
Yeah. Okay.
Even mumble rappers call themselves yacht rockers. I don't like calling themselves yacht rockers.
Yeah, I think it's.
You're gonna bum about hoes and kill you and all that stuff. Okay.
If you can understand.
Well, if you can understand it.
Yes, yeah, so you need a translator for this. All right, Henry, what about yours?
Yeah, so it seems that since the dawn of the internet, and even before, memes have dominated the culture. And in the 2010s, it was a lot of memes involving the bold impact text on both the top and the bottom of the meme, as well as the troll face, the derp and derpina type memes. Those are the 2010s. Now in the 2020s, we have the Wojax. If you've ever been on Twitter, I'm sure you've seen the Wojax. It's a simple, bald-headed man with a blank expression on the face. But it has evolved over the past, you know, half decade here to a whole universe of memes. There is the Giga Chad and other things like that. The Trad Wife. I don't know if I can say that, but I did.
What's the matter with the Trad Wife? You think it's...
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe people take offense to that.
Watch out, Jason Bunker.
Yeah, seriously.
Some of them seem to be branding themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have never heard anybody say I'm a trad wife or anything like that, except people like that
trendy
guy.
I think it's solely an internet thing, and it's something that's going to define the 2020s internet culture.
I would agree. Okay, great ones.
How about one more?
Yeah.
Transgenderism?
Yes. I was saving that, but that's not
crap. Was that the one you were saving?
No.
Oh, okay,
I'll tell you, you didn't say it, so I'll tell you what it is that now and forever is going to be difficult, but is defining us more every second. But transgender stuff, oh yeah, definitely. All right, don't let us take all the good ones. Get in on that. 855-839-1210. Is the NFL actually practicing DEI? Are they? Well, they seem to be lacking a lot of quotas. I mean, how about an Eskimo quarterback? You know, how about somebody that runs a 40 in like 18 seconds or something? You know? No women in the NFL playing, right? Roger Goodell, why? There's no woman in America that could play on an NFL team?
Why?
I mean, it's got to be, right? Bring them forward. Let's have tryouts. Stop it already with this guy. He's going to continue DEI. Is the success? The NFL is successful because people want this, not because of what the NFL does to market it or anything else that I can think of. All right, 855.
You should bring the game of football to Alaska, Dom.
Exactly.
It's an Eskimo quarterback.
It's there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why haven't we seen an Eskimo quarterback?
Where's the Eskimo quarterback?
Them playing, because it's, you know, it's dark up there all the time during the winter.
Oh, that's true.
It's like
indoor football, you know?
They'd be better at that, yes.
Oh, they play outdoors.
And Jim Kelly gave me this. I have a solution to Chestnut Hill's pickleball problem. All right, a device. Wait till you hear this. 855, do you know there's a Trump pickleball set that's out there? It's got a picture of Trump on it. You whack it at that. I don't know. Have a Nancy Pelosi. You whack it to the other paddle.
He's really the king of branding, isn't he?
Oh, my God. It's thousands of merchandise.
With,
yeah. 855-839-1210. Your calls are next. Talk Radio 1210. All right.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano Show. 2020s. Give us something that is a trend, a person, a thing. I left a huge one out there. Maybe the defining thing, ultimately. I would say even bigger than the Trump administration. And that's pretty big, given what's going on right now. All right, so Tom Homan, I think, is doing exactly the right thing. This will be cut 12 when it comes to Phil Murphy. Phil Murphy's person told the New York Post, no, he really doesn't have someone in the garage, in the mansion that's here illegally. but the wording they gave to the New York Post, they didn't put it in a statement. This was behind the scenes, was so deflective and so hard even to understand what they're saying that we don't know where this stands. But Homan is taking exactly the right course. Here's what he said.
And that's Phil Murphy. He said on tape that he had an illegal migrant living in his home. He's since walked that back. But he did try to challenge the administration. So I'm waiting for the feds to come after her. This is the illegal living in his house. Now, okay, he's walked it back. What do you say to that kind of thing from the governor of a state?
It's ridiculous. And look, we're looking into it. Bottom line, he put it out there, we'll look into it. But if he's knowingly harboring, concealing an illegal alien from ICE, that is a felony, and we will seek prosecution. Remember, you know, they've said for the last 4 years, no one's above the law. Well, either is he. So maybe he's bluffing, maybe he's testing us, but I wouldn't test this administration. We're taking this seriously, and anybody that knowingly impedes us, anybody that knowingly harbors and conceals an illegal alien is in violation of Title 8, United States Code 1324. We will seek prosecution.
Tom Homan, thanks very much for being with us today and for all the time that you've been with us over the last.
All right, so Homan is not racing in there, not surrounding the mansion. He's doing the right thing here. He's gonna see what Murphy's up to and move in on it, and Murphy's already maybe walking it back. All right, the guy who hit it best going after Murphy is this Assemblyman Eric Peterson. Yesterday, he called out Murphy for this, and he then went after him. When it comes to, he said it's about power, political theater, and maybe cheap labor to clean his mansion. He referenced in 2018 players from the Sky Blue FC, the women's soccer team owned by Murphy and his wife, reported awful living conditions with plastic bags for windows, no showers, and ice baths in trash cans. A 2022 investigation exposed widespread harassment and abuse ignored by officials for years. So the Murphy is not exactly good when it comes to women employees, is Peterson's point. And again, we'll see how does he walk this back. What this, hopefully, though, tonight is the Republican primary debate for governor. And we're going to hopefully get Matt Rooney on tomorrow to break it down. He's one of the panelists. But every one of these Democrats is going to have to answer for this now. Up and down the line, Republicans, what do they think about it? Where would they go with this? So it's going to be an interesting debate tonight, because whoever the Republican nominee is, if it's the right person, I think is going to win. And if it's not, well, then I think Democrats might slide through, despite obviously what New Jersey wants and where the arrow is pointing. We'll see how the debate goes tonight. There's four people, I believe. And it's going to be interesting to see their stance on Trump. That's what it's going to come down to, on what you believe. How far will Trump go in endorsing or not endorsing and jumping into this at some point? I think this is a primary he ought to get into. I think that people would like to know who he supports in this. Okay, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. All right, let's go to Gary in Newtown. Gary, welcome in.
I'm going to go for the nuclear strike, but before we get to the lightning round, and go with AI, artificial intelligence will define the 20s.
All right, you must be reading my mind. Let's knock Gary out. This is unfair. That's exactly what I was thinking about. That is the biggest thing right now, and God knows where it leads at this point. I am in the camp officially worried about AI rather than, oh, it's going to be a miracle what AI is going to be doing for us. I don't see that.
Would you mind if I chant something?
Sure.
We are playing the Kansas City Cheats. C-H-E-A-T-S, Cheats.
So you're suspect of the elementary school having kids dress up as referees, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. before you hang up, go Birds!
All right. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, you know, it's a Rorschach test. The last Super Bowl, Bradbury holding a bit there. I would have called that if I'm a referee. I'm on record for that. You got to call that in that situation.
Well, even he admitted it, Bradbury.
Yeah. Yeah. I realize you can say let him play, but he what would have happened is just he did just enough where that pass would fall incomplete. I mean, that's what's going to happen there. So what's going to be interesting, yesterday, the Panthers, who won the last hockey championship, not only showed up at the White House, all of them had a red tie. Now, I don't think they all had blue suits on, but they had the giant red tie, every single one of them. I don't know if the Eagles have been asked, will they go to the White House if they win? And there are people that think that Trump is more sympathetic to the Chiefs. He congratulated them. He didn't congratulate the Eagles. So I'm not sure about that. But
so congratulations once again to the Florida Panthers on just an unbelievable season. Really an unbelievable run, because you've been doing so well and now you continue to do well.
Why wouldn't a team want that, though? Like, that's amazing. The president send that kind of stuff.
Oh, I could just see them here in Philadelphia, though, the lineup around. I'm voting absolutely the Eagles will not go, even though I thought there had been an election and people talked about what they wanted, and that's all that Trump is doing. I will say they will not go. Dan, you say they go?
I think they do this time
They
around.
Do?
Yeah.
All right. Based on...
I think Jeffrey Lurie's a populist.
Okay.
When push comes to shove, and I think the reason why they didn't go the last time was because it was the populist opinion to, you know, kneel during the anthem or show some respect to Black Lives Matter, and I think we've moved past that as a culture, and I think the populist opinion now is to, I gotta say, support their commander-in-chief.
I think this is a very...
Well, like, you look at all these billionaires now going over there,
the tech,
you know.
But this is Philadelphia, you know, and this gets at the roots of these Philadelphia Eagles fans. Are they really Democrats in the way that we think about Democrats? Are they rough and tumble kind of moderate Democrats, like the union guys, the builders and all? Do they say don't go? I'm still sticking in the camp slightly that they're not going to go. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with the mayor of Kennett Square. He is in the news because it's mushroom country. Delaware County Times did a big headline story yesterday. Trump's mass deportations order comes with questions and concerns in Delaware County. He was featured. He's against mass deportations. And we'll find out why. I think somebody in his family was a big listener of me at WWDB, and that's why he's willing to come on. That's always good. We're happy about that. All right, he's next. Keep the side questions coming. AI was a great answer, but there's a bunch of other answers that are out there also. Hit us with those on Talk Radio 1210. All right.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Tom Gier, Dano Show. Happened to see yesterday, big story, Delaware County Times. And in there, the mayor of Kennett Square, Matthew Fedick, was featured. Now, Kennett Square is right in the heart of mushroom country. And by most accounts, huge number of workers that are not here legally. And the mayor had some interesting observations about what's going on at this point in time, particularly as a chief executive of a place that's in the center where there could be a lot of activity. The mayor joins us here, the mayor of Kennett Square, on Talk Radio 1210. Mayor, welcome in, and I'm glad you had a relative that listened to WWDB.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, my dad was a longtime listener way back in WWDB days, and we certainly listened as a family. So it's an honor and privilege to be here with you today.
Well, thank you very much. So at the end, well, first of all, give us an idea of how important the mushroom is to the economy there. Are we overblowing it when we say it's just beyond belief, the major industry?
Oh, no. It's very clear. The mushroom industry generates nearly $1 billion in revenue for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and supplies a little more than 45% of all mushrooms grown in the United States.
Wow. And it's my sense.
So it's the big deal.
Yeah, and my sense is, too, it is fueled by people that are coming from foreign countries to work. Maybe some of them are under certain programs. Some of them are here illegally, and then they settle. Would you feel that's pretty accurate, that a substantial number are not here legally?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head what the percentage would be, but absolutely there are migrants that are not here legally, and there are lots of migrants that are here on the guest worker visas as well.
Okay. So you talk about a broken system. We'll get to that in a moment, but you also say that you don't support mass deportations. If people are here illegally, they're not legal. You do say in this piece, to your credit, that you support the law, you'll follow the law. Why should we not deport people that are here illegally?
So it's, from my perspective, Dom, it's a two-prong approach. I'm not opposed to deporting people that are here illegally. However, I believe that doing that without a pathway to be here legally and a open pathway to make it legally, you're really going to harm not just that person, but you're harming a significant amount of industries, right? Take out even the mushroom industry, but a lot of the hospitality industry and the folks that rely on those workers. So I agree with you 100% that deportation of folks who are illegal has to be a part of a plan, but the plan must include immigration reform so that we can do this correctly.
And what would that look like in your view? I mean, this isn't your day-to-day job, but how would these people operate then? Would they live here in perpetuity? Would they become citizens? How would it work?
What I'd like to see, Dom, is an expansion and a more user-friendly guest worker program. I think we can solve a lot of the problems with guest worker programs. Currently, there is a significant cap on the number of guest workers that can enter the U.S. legally, and it doesn't meet the needs of employers. That's number one. Number two, on the guest worker visa, it's a maximum 9-month stay. Then they have to return to their home country for a minimum of 3 months, and then they can reapply for the guest worker program. What I would like to see is a guest worker program that mimics a little bit of what the student visas look like. So if you're a student and you come here on a student visa to go to the university, you can stay as long as you are a full-time student in the classroom seat, right? So it doesn't include virtual learning or things like that. You've got to come and sit in the seat. And the school reports daily. If you don't attend class or if you unenroll in school, they are connected to the federal system and they immediately report this student is now no longer a student and therefore their visa is null and void and they have 30 days to leave the country. What I would like to see is the use of a system similar to that, where an employer could say, I need 15 less skilled laborers. And this is what they would do then. They could post it, and then folks in other countries can apply to that system. When they come to the border, I believe they should be fingerprinted, photographed, DNA samples, right? So we know exactly who they are, and given a social security number. Then they can come in, and as long as that employer can employ them and is reporting active full-time employment, then they could be here. Now, what I'd like to see with that, though, is strict rules. The employer must provide a living wage, right? So the wage could include an hourly wage and or housing, because a lot of in our industry, in the mushroom industry, mm-hmm. includes housing. So, and they have to have health insurance, right? Because we can't have folks, you know, using the health insurance and not paying for it. So the employer has to provide some type of health insurance, a livable wage there. As long as they are there and they're reporting their biweekly payroll that's connected to a federal system, they should be allowed to stay on there. If we want to put some initial caps on it and say, okay, before we can open it up to foreign workers, then we have to advertise this job for 30 days in the States, show that we could not find any Americans to take the job, and then we can open it up to internationals. But right now, it is so broken, and these caps are, they don't work. It does not provide enough labor force, right? So you can come in legally, but let's make the system user-friendly. So Joe Smith, who has a construction company, says, I need 15 laborers, and this is what I need. Here's the job. I'll report on their Social Security weekly, and then if they are no longer employed, then they immediately get And, you know, they get an email or a text message, however we have them registered, that said you have 30 days to leave the country and present yourself at the border or to be reemployed and be signed back into the system.
All right. So, Mayor, let's slow that down. But this means, and we're going to have, with you want to raise the cap substantially, we're going to have a nation of people that are here that are not citizens or anything else. We're going to just have a foreign labor force. You see any negative associated with that?
I think as long as we can continue to show that the positions are necessary and that there are no Americans that are willing to take that job, right, by through advertising and verification, then we should, why not have a foreign labor force? And again, I'm not suggesting that everybody gets to bring their family in and all those things.
Okay.
There could be pathways, right? So it could be, you know, John Smith from Venezuela applies, and he's here for a year, and he becomes this great agricultural producer for us. And then, you know, he's here for 2 years, and it's going well, and maybe we have a pathway to citizenship then, or maybe we have a pathway to, you know, bring a spouse over. But I think we have to have pathways. Right now, there is zero pathway. And so when folks say, hey, we just want you here legally, the problem is there isn't a legal pathway. And if it is, it's very, very convoluted, and it takes years to navigate.
Well, Mayor, the other problem with this is, though, as these caps that you're talking about grow, it seems to me American employers are still going to be able to undercut wages because Americans won't work those jobs. Maybe it's landscaping. Maybe it's something like that. At the wage that these people want to pay, what's your response to that?
I don't think there is a wage out there that would get most people, most Americans, to go in dark mushroom houses mm-hmm. and work in there and pick the. I don't think you could offer $75 an hour and get the average American. And I think, Don, this goes back further, right? I could be wrong in the years, but if we start looking back into the 70s, when we started saying to every American, your pathway is getting a 4-year college degree, and we pushed everybody into higher education levels, we robbed ourselves of a general workforce. We robbed ourselves of folks that want to work manufacturing. And if you look at folks that are graduating from university now or even high school, they can get great jobs working remotely by staying home, sitting in their living room and working for the U.S. or working for foreign companies. They don't want to do the labor jobs. Right? I don't care what salary we put on them. They're not going to do them.
All right. Mayor,
if you want to have that, let's do it.
Mayor, are you aware of the you consistently throughout the article talk about following the law, and it seems as if you want to do that and help in that endeavor. But Chrissy Houlihan, the congressperson there, voted against Lake and Riley, which all it does is say if you are a criminal or if you're here in the country and you're arrested for a crime, you would be deported. Would you support something like that? My suspicion was that she's kowtowing to the interest that's out there in Chester County, which to me is mushroom country.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I have not spoken with her on her vote on that, and so I don't know. I would say I think it comes on the premise, right, of innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, I can tell you, Dom, I was a former police officer. I worked as a police officer in Westchester. And I can tell you, right, sometimes we make mistakes. And I think that's the premise, right, is innocent until proven guilty is a backbone of our Constitution and our criminal justice system. Would I support absolutely upon conviction? Would I support it ahead of time? I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I haven't really processed it. But I can assure you that neither we nor the migrant industry want criminals running around free.
But Mayor, the problem is if we don't hold them for ICE, they can disappear. I mean, that's the whole idea here. They disappear, and then they end up doing something else. That's why we're holding them for ICE to adjudicate this.
So, you're right. If there is a ICE hold on somebody, we will absolutely comply with that.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm saying.
And I don't know of any police department in our area where if there is a warrant right? An ICE warrant or an ICE hold. What we've said in our on our response is, and I think this is critical for public safety, that if somebody in our community is a victim of a crime, right, an assault, a rape, whatever it is, and they are undocumented here, that we don't ask immigration status when you're reporting a crime, when you're a victim of a crime.
Okay.
We want people to come forward, right? But we have not. What we have said is, if you are a felon or you have been arrested and you are undocumented, then we absolutely have to follow federal law.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. Well, Mayor, thank you again for coming on. And again, keep us in the loop as there are more developments around this. But it's a pleasure to have you.
I really appreciate you taking the time to bring this forward, Dom. I think we have to work together on both sides of the aisle. We've got to find a pathway that works for everybody. And I want to be part of that solution. And I am going to reach out to Congresswoman Houlihan to ask her about that, because it piques my interest now that you brought it up.
Well,
again.
Very much. And then we invite you back and to come on. We'd love to do that.
I appreciate
that.
It.
Thank you, Mayor, very
great.
Much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right. We got a pipeline to the Houlihan here through the mayor. That's not bad. I'm happy to do that. All right. There's a guy right in the center of the action, and I don't know of any bigger area where this is happening than Mushroom Country. And yeah, it is an extremely difficult job, without a doubt. But how many other jobs would Americans do, but they're not going to do them at under the market price? You know, you can think of any number. Does that mean, is that the reality? Are they right? The other side, it says, well, we need this foreign labor force here. It's just, that's what you need to do. Valentine's Day coming up. You're going to hear a day off, and Valentine's Day will be stopped. Last night, I was thinking of Joey Vento. We had pretty substantial numbers of people blocking the streets, taking to the streets at Pat's and Geno's, supporting people being here illegally. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All we need you to do is just push #1210. Hit us with something that is very 2020s. All right, we've had some good answers so far, but there's a myriad of others out there. Hit us with yours on Talk Radio 1210. All right, John, to your Dano's show. Welcome in. So I'll play it now, Dan. Bill Gates was on The View today talking about this battle over U.S. aid, USAID. I think back to when I first started, foreign aid has always been under the gun, and they would always tell us it's only 1/100th of a percent of this, that, and the other, and people object to it, don't see the wisdom of it. Gates making a case, people are going to die if we don't restore this. I have some of the wild stuff they've been spending. More to the point, the smart guy in this is Marco Rubio. He's been great in the role of Secretary of State, saying these people were just making it up. They're defiant. They're going to do whatever they want with that money. It's not a charity. It has to be linked to the foreign policy of the president of the United States at that point. It can't undercut it or be away from that. And there's a lot of evidence that a lot of it is. Here's what Gates said about it, though.
Mr. Gates, you also called Elon Musk's political influence abroad, quote, insane, along with another word we can't repeat here. But what's your take on his political access and influence here in America right now?
Well, Elon, his private sector work, you know, has been very innovative, really fantastic. A lot of private sector people, when they get into government, they don't take the time necessarily to see what the good work is or why it's structured the way it is. So I'm a little worried, particularly with this USAID stuff. Mm-hmm. My foundation partners with USAID on nutrition and getting vaccines out. And, you know, there's incredible people. You know, they're not actually worms that work there.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we'll get some of that work back in shape. In fact, if we don't, you know, you could have literally millions of deaths. So,
yeah,
you know, with aid, people think, you know, wow, how much do we give these countries? As you said, it's less than a percent. People think it's 5% and it should be 2%, but it's actually under 1%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And still,
we hear this all the time, and we come back to look. And again, I'm not talking about people not getting what we're actually doing, what we're actually spending. Rubio's on this. It's offensive in that the people engaged in this are making decisions many times that are frivolous and or in contravenous to the policies of the president of the United States, of the country, what we're putting forward. Now, they're not going to ask that on The View. They don't understand it. They want to just tell you that people are going to die. Is there a place for some of this, given the condition the world is, that's in our interest and to do? Yes. But I don't trust, neither is Marco Rubio, and he's right, the people that are in charge of this. And again, that's what I would be asking Gates, and I would be specific and go back and forth. I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about coming up. But Sean Parnell is back in the big time. Parnell has been our go-to guy here on several things in Pennsylvania. He's now going to be the Pentagon spokesperson, if he can find the bathroom there. I'll make mention when we have him on of broadcasting from there, and our guide got lost. That's how you would not believe it till you go through it once. He's going to be the Pentagon spokesperson and undersecretary of something. We'll get his take on what they're trying to do with the U.S. military that just came down last night. He's next on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.